Exit, pursued by a bear. Jobs had refused to quash Larry Ellison's takeover talk, and he had secretly sold his shares and been misleading about it. So Emilio finally became convinced that Jobs was gunning for him. I finally absorbed the fact that I had been too willing and too eager to believe he was on my team, Emilio recalled. Steve's plans to manipulate my termination were charging forward. Jobs was indeed bad-mouthing Emilio at every opportunity. He couldn't help himself, but there was a more important factor in turning the board against Emilio. Fred Anderson, the chief financial officer, saw it as his fiduciary duty to keep Ed Woolard and the board informed of Apple's dire situation. Fred was the guy telling me that cash was draining, people were leaving, and more key players were thinking of it, said Woolard. He made it clear the ship was going to hit the sand soon, and even he was thinking of leaving. That added to the worries Woolard already had from watching Emilio bumble the shareholders' meeting. At an executive session of the board in June, with Emilio out of the room, Woolard described to current directors how he calculated their odds. If we stay with Gil as CEO, I think there's only a 10% chance we will avoid bankruptcy, he said. If we fire him and convince Steve to come take over, we have a 60% chance of surviving. If we fire Gil, don't get Steve back, and have to search for a new CEO, then we have a 40% chance of surviving. The board gave him authority to ask Jobs to return. Woolard and his wife flew to London, where they were planning to watch the Wimbledon tennis matches. He saw some of the tennis during the day, but spent his evenings in his suite at the Inn on the Park, calling people back in America where it was daytime. By the end of his stay, his telephone bill was $2,000. First, he called Jobs. The board was going to fire Emilio, he said, and it wanted Jobs to come back as CEO. Jobs had been aggressive in deriding Emilio and pushing his own ideas about where to take Apple, but suddenly, when offered the cup, he became coy. I will help, he replied. As CEO? Woolard asked. Jobs said no. Woolard pushed hard for him to become at least the acting CEO. Again, Jobs demurred. I will be an advisor, he said, unpaid. He also agreed to become a board member. That was something he had yearned for, but declined to be the board chairman. That's all I can give now, he said. After rumors began circulating, he emailed a memo to Pixar employees assuring them that he was not abandoning them. I got a call from Apple's board of directors 3 weeks ago asking me to return to Apple as their CEO, he wrote. I declined. They then asked me to become chairman, and I again declined. So don't worry. The crazy rumors are just that. I have no plans to leave Pixar. You're stuck with me. Why did Jobs not seize the reins? Why was he reluctant to grab the job that for 2 decades he had seemed to desire? When I asked him, he said, "We'd just taken Pixar public, and I was happy being CEO there. I never knew of anyone who served as CEO of 2 public companies, even temporarily, and I wasn't even sure it was legal. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was enjoying spending more time with my family. I was torn. I knew Apple was a mess, so I wondered, do I want to give up this nice lifestyle that I have? What are all the Pixar shareholders going to think? I talked to people I respected. I finally called Andy Grove at about 8 one Saturday morning, too early. I gave him the pros and the cons, and in the middle he stopped me and said, Steve, I don't give a shit about Apple. I was stunned. It was then I realized that I do give a shit about Apple. I started it, and it is a good thing to have in the world. That was when I decided to go back on a temporary basis to help them hire a CEO. The claim that he was enjoying spending more time with his family was not convincing. He was never destined to win a Father of the Year trophy, even when he had spare time on his hands. He was getting better at paying heed to his children, especially Reed, but his primary focus was on his work. He was frequently aloof from his two younger daughters, estranged again from Lisa, and often prickly as a husband. So what was the real reason for his hesitancy in taking over at Apple? For all of his willfulness and insatiable desire to control things, Jobs was indecisive and reticent when he felt unsure about something. He craved perfection, and he was not always good at figuring out how to settle for something less. He did not like to wrestle with complexity or make accommodations. This was true in products, design, and furnishings for the house. It was also true when it came to personal commitments. If he knew for sure a course of action was right, he was unstoppable. But if he had doubts, he sometimes withdrew, preferring not to think about things that did not perfectly suit him. As happened when Emilio had asked him what role he wanted to play, Jobs would go silent and ignore situations that made him uncomfortable. This attitude arose partly out of his tendency to see the world in binary terms. A person was either a hero or a bozo. A product was either amazing or shit. But he could be stymied by things that were more complex, shaded, or nuanced. Getting married, buying the right sofa, committing to run a company. In addition, he didn't want to be set up for failure. "I think Steve wanted to assess whether Apple could be saved," Fred Anderson said. Woolard and the board decided to go ahead and fire Emilio, even though Jobs was not yet forthcoming about how active a role he would play as an advisor. Emilio was about to go on a picnic with his wife, children, and grandchildren when the call came from Woolard in London. "We need you to step down," Woolard said simply. Emilio replied that it was not a good time to discuss this, but Woolard felt he had to persist. "We are going to announce that we're replacing you." Emilio resisted. "Remember, Ed, I told the board it was going to take 3 years to get this company back on its feet again," he said. "I'm not even halfway through." "The board is at the place where we don't want to discuss it further," Woolard replied. Emilio asked who knew about the decision, and Woolard told him the truth. The rest of the board, plus Jobs. "Steve was one of the people we talked to about this," Woolard said. "His view is that you're a really nice guy, but you don't know much about the computer industry." "Why in the world would you involve Steve in a decision like this?" Emilio replied, getting angry. "Steve is not even a member of the board of directors. So what the hell is he doing in any of this conversation?" But Woolard didn't back down, and Emilio hung up to carry on with the family picnic before telling his wife.